The Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
Boy, have you seen the pictures coming out of California the last couple of days? The orange sky there in San Francisco, of course. The liberals and the environmentalists have been very quick to jump on the photos of the sky turning orange from the haze of those California fires. And what are they blaming it on? Oh, surprise, surprise, climate change. Failed Democratic presidential candidate Tom Steyer said, "It's our current climate reality. Only immediate, bold, and transformational action will prevent these climate tragedies from getting even worse." Well, Ed Ring, who is a senior fellow with the California Policy Institute, basically has a terrific article out about that in American Greatness, saying there is no scientific basis to link high winds and the state's long-term drought to climate change. And Ed is joining us on our Newsmaker line to talk about those California fires right now. Ed, how much are environmentalists, do you think, responsible for the devastating fires we're seeing in California right now?
I think they're to blame for most of it, because everybody's known for 20 to 30 years now that forests are dangerously overgrown. They can talk about the reasons for that, but the reasons are somewhat irrelevant. The forests were overgrown, the forests need to be thinned, and environmentalists prevented that.
And how did they prevent it? Were laws passed? Did they just not allow people to get in there and do the things that needed to be done to manage the forest properly? What happened exactly, Ed?
Well, there were regulations starting in the 1990s, and a lot of them were for good reasons. Back in the 1920s and 30s, the process of clear cutting was, you know, kind of unregulated, to the point where they were, for example, doing clear cuts right next to rivers, and silt was destroying the river ecosystems. And there were good reasons to regulate logging, but they went too far, and they made it where the logging industry is basically one-half to one-third the size it was in 1990, and they're not taking trees out of the forest as fast as they're growing.
What about the impact of not clearing the forest, first of all the deadwood, but also not clearing the impact it has on the ecosystem and also on water? There are some people who say, if you don't clear this, it's going to impact the water as well. How does that happen, Ed?
That's absolutely true. You know, you're talking about, first of all, fires used to clear the forests, and we did fire suppression. And so everybody knows if you're going to put out all of the fires, then tinder and growth is going to get out of control. You have to do something about that. The way it connects with water is because when you have anywhere from 2 to 5 times the biomass density in a forest, when it rains, whenever it rains, the water, if it even gets to the forest floor, it gets sucked up by all of these extra shrubs and tree and smaller trees. That's the reason that the larger trees are stressed and diseased, but it's also preventing that water from running off into the rivers or percolating into the aquifers, because it's just getting used by this excessive biomass.
Ed, what about this idea? The environmental lobby is extremely powerful. Is there going to be a politician who will step up and say, wait a minute, something's going on here. We understand your concerns about the environment. We understand your concerns about climate change, but look at what is happening. We need to come together and find a solution here. Is that ever going to happen?
Well, it's not going to happen if they keep blaming this on climate change.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We have had hotter summers. We have had drier winters. But when you've got a tinderbox, it really doesn't matter if it's 1 or 2 degrees hotter or cooler. What matters is you've got all of this dead tinder everywhere, and it's going to burn. Senator Feinstein, a Democrat, she's a moderate Democrat, but she blamed the Sierra Club for blocking a wildfire bill, and that was back in 2002. These politicians have all known that this is a problem, and what's happened is the environmental lobby, which, as you say, is extremely powerful, has blocked everything that would be... They're looking for perfection instead of efficiency, and they're not understanding the cost that. And I think that maybe they're understanding the cost now, but will a critical mass of politicians do something about this? I certainly hope so, because if they don't, we're going to lose the rest of our forests.
Does the logging industry have a chance or any say in this, Ed?
Well, they always have had a say. The problem is that they haven't had enough of a say. They've been overpowered by the environmentalist lobby. I think that it's, you know, impossible to clear the forests without a role from the timber industry because they're just too extensive. You know, you're looking at literally hundreds of thousands of square miles, and you can't go in there with, you know, Forest Service agencies and get the job done. You need to let them harvest timber at a profit to help pay for what they'll also do as part of the compromise, which is to remove the unusable timber, but nonetheless dead shrubbery and dead trees. And if you have that combination where the timber harvesting helps pay for the removal of this excess understorage in the forest, you could make it happen more quickly.
I wasn't even aware of this until you brought this up in your article, Ed, about the firefighters' unions and the role they play in this, because these are the guys who are out there having to fight these fires. Where do they stand?
Well, you know, I don't criticize the firefighters one bit, but the leadership of the firefighters' unions, I think, needs to get on the side of forest thinning and help change the balance of power in Congress and in the state legislatures, because these firefighter unions are very powerful. Why in 2019 was California's firefighters union leadership sending their guys out onto the picket lines with the teachers union in Los Angeles? Why is that their political priority instead of helping get some kind of balance restored between environmental extremism and practical forest management? Why aren't they putting their energy there?
Where do you think the public stands in all of this, Ed? The public who've either lost their homes or had their damage or their property damage or forced to flee their homes, are they on the side of, hey, we need to thin these forests? Or are they on the side of, no, this is all climate change's fault?
The people that live in the foothills and live in the forests know what's happened. They've watched how they couldn't clear the fire roads anymore. They've watched how there hasn't been, they've watched the timber industry shrink, and they know what's going on. The people living in cities, if they don't look at this critically, they've been indoctrinated now for decades to think that all of this is a result of climate change. And climate change has a role, but they're equivocating way, even the experts equivocate about this way too much. The reason we're having these fires is because the forests are 2 to 5 times denser than what is historically normal because of fire suppression, and that is going to cause catastrophic fires no matter what the temperature, you know, maybe 1 or 2 degrees hotter than it was 30 years ago. That's not the reason they're burning up. The reason they're burning up is because there's too much tinder in those forests.
And the same situation here in Utah. That happened with the Bryce Canyon fire a couple of years ago, and there are efforts here in the state of Utah to do what they can to clear some of those forests. By the way, the Trump administration is proposing more timber sales and easing the permitting for burning biomass. Guess what? Environmentalists, surprise, surprise, oppose the change. The irony is in all this, think about it, the destruction from fires imperils the forest and endangered species far more than does regulated tree clearing. It's pretty amazing. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show in Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know. Okay, have you found from working that by working at home, you may have a little more free time on your hands? You don't have to worry about a commute. If you want to grab a bite to eat, just go to the pantry in the kitchen and get something to eat. You don't have to leave work as much, so you get your work done quicker, and you have more time on your hands. Well, how would you like to make a little money? Well, you have that extra time. Have you thought about day trading with Try Day Trading? You know, Try Day Trading will help you make money regardless of what the markets are doing, and you trade using their money. They are so confident in their program and their training that you make trades using their money, and guess what? You keep up to 80% of the profits. If you're the slightest bit interested, why not take a look at their online tutorial? Try Day Trading is offering a 30-day trial for just $10. That's 30-day trial for just $10. Try it out for 30 days for only $10 at Try Day Trading. Discover how easy it is to make money from the friendly confines of your own home. Check it out today. TryDayTrading.com. That's TryDayTrading.com. Here's Happy Down with a news update.